back. Your boy, the one and only, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you not from the top of my house, just below the roof, not two flights off from where I get my coffee. I had to actually brave the 25 degree weather here on Strong Island and make it from the attic area out to my office. Shout out to Vanguard Benefits. That is our crew. That is our company. That is our business. And we are doing a great job with the Vanguard Business Hall of Fame Awards, the Hall of Fame Employer Awards, that is. We'll talk about that maybe some other time today, or maybe not, but just check us out, Vanguard Benefits, UYOU.com. That is our company, very focused on and committed to the nonprofit sector. You know I am, and you know we are. Just this week, I was hanging out with a group, 45 people in both the for-profit and nonprofit space. Shout out to Erica Floresca, Carol, and Nyrikia over at Long Island Children's Museum for hosting us and giving me the opportunity. By the way, the show is called Philanthropy and Focus, gang. So giving me the opportunity to have my colleague Paul Howard from Satel Institute. We'll talk about Satel again. Actually, Paul's going to come on the show. But we had an opportunity to talk about doing good is great for business. Doing good is great for business. It was all about corporate social responsibility and the partnerships. And when you get to play the nonprofit sector connector, not just on TV, not just on radio, not just on YouTube, but I am the nonprofit sector connector because two ways I know. First of all, I made it up, so I definitely know I am the guy. Plus, I put it on my business cards, so I know if I look down at my business card, it's there, and it must be true. If it's on a business card, if you put ink to it, it must be true, gang. It must, not that kind of ink, everybody. I don't have a tattoo that says the nonprofit sector connector. Maybe one day. All right. So look, we're going to talk about a lot of important things today. I want to say hello to Lauren Blodgett, founder, executive director of the Brave House. Coolest jacket I have seen in a while. It's not even really a jacket, Lauren. What? Like, it's like a coat. It's like a fluffy coat. What is up, man? What's going on? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This is my fluffy rainbow coat because why not?
Because you know what it inspires us. So this morning, I was watching a TEDx talk from BC Boston College, and there was this woman on the TEDx, and she's talking all about joy. And I'm telling you, that looks like a joyful coat, and I feel very joyous seeing that coat. And it is a joyful time of year, holiday season. Everybody, you know, I was saying like part of the reason I'm not in the attic is because it's Mrs. Claus is in the attic making it into, you know, Mrs. Santa's workshop, Mrs. Claus's workshop. So I kind of got kicked out of the attic and was sent packing this morning. And that's why I'm in the office. But I think this time of year is a great time to be joyful. But I think anytime's a great time to be joyful, which we're going to get into. And why is he talking about joy? Well, because I was just coming out of listening to a TEDx talk where it finishes with press play on joy. I like to say this before we get into everything. I just like to say, you know, Lauren, a big thing for me is, you know, I talk about everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. I say that all the time, right? That's one of my mantras. And we have some of your mantras. I actually wrote it on my whiteboard. I wrote it on my, it's on my, one of my monitors over there on a sticky note. We'll get into some of that today. I just feel like that approaching everybody with love and compassion and realizing people are battling, people are fighting. I mean, I learned a little bit about your things you're going through in the TEDx talk just now, or and have gone through, and you know, we're all in it, man. We're all going through some stuff. So those two things standing out for me is like that compassion and love for people not knowing what they're going through, and then this other thing: why the heck did we ever stop playing? Why did we stop playing? And all I ever want to do is play, right? And like that was what was really coming up for me in listening to you speak about joy on this TEDx talk this morning. Oh, by the way, that's the woman who was talking, everybody. If you didn't know to Tommy D what I was doing there, I was watching I was watching Lauren Joy Blodgett speak this morning. But like, you know, typically what I do to prep for a show, gang, is I have my guest send in some information, a little backstory. I obviously check out LinkedIn, I go to the company website. But I absolutely love YouTube. By the way, if you found me on YouTube, like and subscribe. but if you watch YouTube, man, you can learn so much. And it is, I think, the second largest search engine, I think, behind Google. And I tell you, I search most of my stuff there. It was funny. I was having lunch with a buddy of mine. He uses ChatGPT as a search engine. Now, I do not. I use it for other things. It's interesting how people do it. But I said, I'm sitting here having my coffee in a in a role, and I said, you know what? I'm going to just Google, although I'm not Googling. I meant search. My daughter would say search it up. I was searching up Lauren Blodgett in YouTube or on YouTube, and that's the first thing that came up was this video. And I got, I have a minute. There's like 42 seconds. We had to do a live show, so the other 42 seconds I'll have to listen to at the end. But I've just there's so much access out there and opportunity to learn about people, and that's just like I think where I'm going. Let's talk about this. We met originally twice through the New York City Imagine Awards. Right. So your team has been there a couple of years in a row. Gang, if you don't know New York City Imagine Awards, I don't know what you're doing. You're not paying attention on what we're up to out there, but go to NYC Imagine Awards, just Google New York City Imagine Awards, or send me an email, Tommy D at philanthropy and focus, phocus.com. I have about I'm halfway through reading the Long Island Imagine Awards applications. We meet next Tuesday to go through the Imagine Awards applications for Long Island. So I have some work to do this weekend to finish that up. So that's an exciting part of that process. So there's always something like like a friend of mine says, Tommy D, do the Imagine Awards go on all year? Because I feel like you're always talking. Yes, they go on all. Absolutely. Wait till Ken Cerini gets his way and we go to the Westchester Imagine Awards. Here we come, Westchester. All right. Now, without further ado, that's all the ranting and the raving and the Tommy D stuff. Lauren, this show is all about you. It's about you, your background, the young girls and women that you're impacting, you and your team that are supporting. I want to hear your story. I always talk about, what was the Genesis story like? You were telling this story in this TEDx talk about, you mentioned like people, one of your clients, you were sitting waiting to for a hearing, and you guys made a whole comic strip. Or so what stood out for me there is like, what is your Genesis story? We talk about like a lot, like you hear, the Hulk or Captain America or Wonder Woman. Like they all have these like what is the story? Like, how do we get to this organization called the Brave House? Take us down that.
Absolutely. And Tommy, I love your energy. You're bringing the joy this morning.
I
You
got. That's all I got, man. And I'm fighting. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm fighting a good fight, man. You got to play hurt sometimes,
are.
Lauren. You know playing hurt, right? We know from playing hurt.
Well, I love that. And something that you were talking about with joy, something that's important to me too, when we're thinking about joy, is that it's actually an action, not a feeling. So you don't have to be feeling well today. You don't have to be, mentally or physically feeling well to still take joy-inspired actions. And so whenever I'm thinking about joy, it's about doing the thing, even maybe especially when you don't feel like it. And so little things like today I woke up feeling a little bit under the weather. Bam, I got my rainbow jacket. We're putting on a lip. We're gonna smile at people. Can you imagine New York City? We're gonna smile at people on the street. I might hold a door open for someone. It's these micro moments of joy, actually. Like, I do want to talk about the Brave House. That's
We
a
will.
big
We I
thing that
promise.
we're
We got
doing,
plenty. We'll
but
get there. We'll get
it's
there, I
like
promise.
that's a macro. Micro is like telling the cashier, "Oh my God, I love your earrings," or just wishing someone in the elevator, "Hey, I hope you have a great day today." It's those micro moments
Let me
that.
give you one of my micros. Let me give you one of my micros because I grew up in the bar and restaurant business. It's actually how my wife and I met. My uncle owned the bar called Halligan's in Floral Park. He was a New York City fireman. And we met that way, right? But the thing about, so I know the service industry, right? From the time I was 12 years old, delivered newspapers, 13 years old, washing dishes in the deli. And then I started working in restaurants right after that, right? When you get good service, man, at a restaurant, it's great to give a good tip, of course. That's like par for the course. But when you get good service, gang, and you can ask to see the manager, and the manager comes over, and I promise you this, 99 out of 100 times that manager gets called over, it's for a crappy reason, nothing good. I'm like, they're like, they come over, sir, how can I help you? Is everything okay? Hey, man, listen, I know you guys are slammed. I know you're in the weeds. I know you're busy. I just want to let you know that Jackie or Johnny or Susie crushed it. Absolutely crushed it. I couldn't even get halfway through my drink before they got me another fresh drink. There was extra napkins on the table. They were so thoughtful. They were so connected to what we were doing. They were so attentive. Gang, I'm telling you, I did this not too long ago at a restaurant here. I had some business associates that did it. And it's not just, this isn't just when it's not legit. I'm talking about when it's legit, when somebody has legitimately gone the extra mile and is primo. You changed somebody. I got an email, Lauren, from this waitress because I'd given her my card because she wanted to go back to school. Long story short, I build crazy rapport with people because I'm totally interested with people, right? So, long story short, I do what I just did, the whole thing. The manager comes over. In fact, I've had a lunch at that restaurant. Now the manager knows who I am just because of that move, right? And that's not why I did it, but that's what happens. But then I got an email from the young woman. Thank you so much for what you did talking to my manager. And also, I'm taking your advice and I'm going to go back to school because that's really where my passion lies. That's not about me, everybody. And I'm telling you that to inspire you. Talk about micro moments of joy. Like, how can you impact another person? What is the ripple effect of that? What is the ripple effect of this young woman sends me an email that she's now, maybe we see each other again, maybe we never see each other again. I don't know. It'd be cool if we did, but that's not the point. The point is, what does she take from my behavior and then pay that forward? You know, that'll pay that pay it forward movie. You know, it's
That
so
didn't
good.
cost you any
Jump in,
money,
Lauren. Jump
right?
in.
That didn't cost you a dollar to say, hey, can
No,
I
didn't
talk to
cost me
your
anything.
manager to
Not at
like
all.
that? All it took was, I guess, your time, which what did I add? Another
I was
minute?
sitting there anyway. I was
Right.
sitting at the table. We were paying a check. It was like not even it was nothing extra. But it's a absolute game changer. Game changer. And I also know how difficult. Like, I met a guy one time, and then we got to talk about you, but I met a guy one time. I used to be a salesman for ADP payroll services. I was very young. I'm like 25 years old, 26 years old. We go into Outback Steakhouse, and I meet this guy, right? His name is Frank. Long story short, because it is a long story, I will make it short. I'd say you should come in for a job. He gets a job at ADP, crushed it. I had left, and years later, he's still there. Destroyed anybody's numbers. The kid was a machine, right? And I tell you that because I saw something, and he was quote unquote just a waiter at a restaurant. And gang, I don't mean that. You know what I'm saying? That's what people might say. No. There's talent. People are talented. Those are jobs that people do because we got to do them. But I saw an opportunity because the kid, he had swag. He wanted to talk. I didn't want the steak. I ended up buying a steak. He convinced me and my buddy to buy steaks, and he was buying us back beers. I'm sober 15 years, but I wasn't then. But he was buying us beers back at the table. The point of the matter is, it's all about the relationships. Lauren, talk to me about that stuff. I mean, you're empowering young women all the time in some of the work you're doing. Take it away.
Absolutely. So I want to talk about, you're talking about relationships. I want to talk about the work we do at the Brave House. We work with young immigrant women here in New York City. I also want to share about the importance of your team and relationships within your team. So a quick story I want to share with you because it's really relevant to this week. So this week at my office, we're doing something called Secret Agent Week. So we have a team, full-time staff of five right now. We also have like an army of volunteers and board and all that, but in terms of our full-time team, it's five of us. So
Okay.
for Secret Agent Week, at the beginning of the week, we all get a secret assignment. We get assigned someone else on the team, and the goal of the week is that the person that I was assigned, I need to take micro actions to make sure she has the best week she's ever had, but I want to not get caught. So I do it
Okay, cool, cool, cool. Hold on,
secretly.
hold on, hold on. I'm having fun with this. So, like, look at me. I'm like five. See, that's why I like playtime. So, all right. So it's like Secret Santa, except it's like you just make that person have an awesome week
For
and
the
like
whole
just
week.
little things, but you can't get
So
caught.
don't get caught. So that's the, so like I will maybe put a smoothie on her desk. Because and I know what type of flavor she likes, and I'll put it there, but I'll do it when no one else is around, or I'll leave a little note saying you're amazing, da 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 da, and I'll put it there when she's not watching. Or maybe it's other things that are like, I'm going to be really prepared to any meeting I have with her. I'm going to make her workflow easier that week. I'm going to put more attention
Does
onto.
everybody know? Hold on though. Does everybody like everyone's participating, but they don't know who their secret
Don't know
agent is?
who has who. So
Got it. All right.
it also
But
becomes very playful because we're all kind of suspicious of each other. We're
sneaking
like,
around.
who do
But
you
it
have?
also, but it, but it also, it just elevates the culture for the week where like everything's grooving because like everybody's at it. Because so I'm being playful, right? Because I'm trying not to get caught and I'm trying to hook people up, right? Or an individual person up, and everybody's doing that. But also like, my stuff must be whatever, whoever's hooking me up, my stuff must be better, right? So I'm
Contagious.
digging it. So I'm having a great
Contagious.
week. Wow, I
Yeah,
think
I came
that's
back to
so
my desk and there was a cup of coffee and my favorite chocolate bar on my desk. And I'm like,
right. My
this
God,
is
I love
amazing.
it. I love that. I love Secret Agent Week. You know what I'm going to do, actually? So I have four children, and my wife and I'm thinking we should play Secret Agent like at my house, because the thing about it when you have kids, gang, kids, a guy I used to work with used to say to me, Tommy, you know what it is? They're just little humans. And I think early on in fatherhood, I hadn't realized
They're little
that,
humans and we're just big babies,
because baby,
basically.
we don't know each other that well. You figured me out pretty quick. I am a big baby. So, but the thing about it is, like, they don't always get along and they mess with each other. And I think it's like a situation where if they're looking out and competitively trying to hook each other up, I'm big on that word. I mean, I had this quote about hooking people up that, like, I wrote on a piece of paper in 1999, and it's like on my whiteboard in my home office, because it was all about hooking people up, because I always felt that there was this thing about, not hooking up like that, gang. Like, that's a different hooking up. But before people talked about hooking up was like, a romantic thing. It was just like, let me hook you up, man. Like, what do you need? I'll hook you up. Like, that was the thing we talked about back in my day. And I just think there's God, and something you said resonated with me, and we're gonna go to break, but something you said in that TEDx resonated with me, and it's something I'm working on, because it's about, so it's so funny. I talk a lot of, we're going to break in a sec, everybody, but I talk a lot about, like, I used to do something called 60 Days of Service, Lauren, and everybody, where I would go out and volunteer for nonprofit organizations. We're gonna bring it back because now I have a film crew and it's a whole other thing. But I used to say the trick about service work and volunteering is it's not all that selfless, because it feels really freaking good to do. So it's kind of like a selfish selflessness. But you said something in that TEDx talk about generosity serves the giver. And I'm working on being better at, and this is the last couple of years, being a better receiver. Because for years, like, say you and I met in a business setting, right? And you were like, oh, Tommy, I do this, and what are you doing? And I'm like, all right, let me, Lauren, I'm gonna hook you up with all these people. And you'd be like, all right, cool. How do I help you? And I'd be like, don't worry about it, I'm good. But what I actually realized over the years, gang, listen up, if you're like me, if you're like a people pleaser and a giver, the other person wants to give just as much as you
Wants
do.
to
And I've
give.
learned this over the years. I've learned it. I actually, and I'm not gonna say like all right, I will say I'm regretful that I took that away from people over the years and didn't allow them that opportunity when they wanted to give. And in all honesty, from a business perspective, it hasn't served me all that well, because there's a lot of opportunities that I could have taken advantage of that I didn't, because I pushed away people hooking me up. Anyway, gang, if you're listening, you want to hook me up, Tommy D at philanthropyandfocus.com. Let's connect. Let's talk about Vanguard Benefits. Let's talk about everything. We got to go to break. Lauren Blodgett, The Brave House, Tommy D all over the map. The show is called In Focus, but it's out of focus. We're right back.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
Right. If you go there, I'm not going to be there. So don't show up at the attic, gang. I love how there's this one photo. Shout out to the website, everybody. The website is thebravehouse.com. If you're listen only mode, as they say, go to thebravehouse.com. I love the hearts. And there's like this one picture where the young girls have like a heart and they're putting like half a heart in each of the two directions. I love that. I dig it. You know, it's funny. It's like, it's so much fun to just like be silly, right? And I think, like, especially what you're talking about, like, as you were talking about Secret Agent Week, right? I'm like going to myself, would that work here? So, like, I got an office, like, I got my two business partners, and we have two staffers, and then we have another team over here, and they probably like half a dozen. So, maybe it's like a dozen of us here. I think it would work because, like, I think it would be fun here. But it's a little bit, silly, and it's a little bit vulnerable, right? And like, men don't always get to play the same way, not just straight up, right? Right or wrong, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, speaking of silly, I came into the office yesterday. I opened up the door, I unlocked it because I thought I was the first person in the office that day, but everyone's being sneaky. I opened up the door, someone on my team, I still don't know who it was, had come in and wrapped all of our desks in like Christmas wrapping paper.
So you had to like unwrap your desk
to like unwrap, like to get to my computer, like unwrap, like oh take God. A bow off. Like it was.
Did you watch The Office?
Yeah.
You remember like it would take like Dwight's stuff and like put his phone and staple like in Jello and stuff like that. Like
it's so delightful. If you do it, the trick also is to have a spreadsheet where everyone ahead of time puts what's their favorite AM beverage, favorite PM beverage, favorite snack, favorite color. So you're not guessing, you know, you're like getting people things that you know that they like. You're not getting someone coffee if they really only drink tea, like that kind of stuff.
It's so funny. So I just accepted an honor what it actually happens next year. And I want to tell everybody this is hysterical. In the middle of a live show, I'm trying to Google the name of a cake. So like there's a campaign for the visionary campaign for Blood Cancer United, which used to be called Leukemia Lymphoma Society. As it turns out, this mission is very, very important to me personally. Coming into 26, gang, I'll share more why, but I didn't know we were going to be so real and open with the story in this campaign, but it turns out we are. And I'll, again, that's like just a tease, but I was filling out this form yesterday and they were asking these questions, like similar to what you were talking about, like your intake from your law practice about, you know, your favorite color and different things people are into, right? Your hobby. So this intake form to be a visionary next year asked me what my favorite snack is. So my favorite thing is there's this cake that Entenmann's makes. It's a chocolate chip loaf cake. I destroy this cake. Like it's a cake that like appropriately was probably made for like five people. It probably says on a box somewhere like serves 5 to 7 people. No, it doesn't. It serves one Tommy D. I mean, it might serve a lot of other, but if what you do is you cut it into hunks and then you cut it into strips and you're able to eat the entire, I mean, I'm not a big guy, like, you know, 6'1", 180, right? But like, I just crushed that cake. So that's a thing that people know. I had a friend of mine early COVID, like super early COVID, like shouldn't have been in my house early COVID, like those days. Look at you writing down the cake. So I saw you. You don't think I do this? This is what I do. I listen for these things myself. So I saw you do it. It's a chocolate chip loaf cake. So my buddy shows up, my buddy and his wife, they came up from New Jersey and they showed up with 6 Entenmann's chocolate chip loaf cakes. And believe me, they didn't, none of them was thrown away. Believe me. Anyway, so I love that because that little intake that you all do is like, how can I serve you over the next week? How can I make this? How often do you guys do that? Because this is the fun. I promise you, we're going to get into all the programs. We're not going to run out of time. We're going to tell all stories. But I think this stuff is the culture of your organization, that joy. So how often do you do
I think, secret? I believe the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So I'm not about building a nonprofit to serve folks that's rooted in joy and seeing people as a whole person if I'm not also implementing that with my internal team.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. I try not to talk too much about us on the show, meaning my company, because I feel like it's self-serving, but it is my show. But Vanguard Benefits, we talk about culture, We talk about what is the culture of an organization, employee benefits, yeah, but how are you serving your people? We had such a dynamic, I'm sorry you weren't there on Tuesday, we had such a dynamic conversation with these like 45 or 50, both nonprofits and for-profits, talking about the importance of corporate social responsibility and the importance of taking care of your people, whether you're a for-profit or nonprofit, pouring into your people. Because I believed for years, ever since we made this decision to be Vanguard Benefits and be for the sector, that if I can come to nonprofits and help them help their people, meaning their internal, their staff, their associates, their team, however they refer to those people, well, then those people are better positioned to serve the community that they're serving. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I hear you saying. So it does feel
work. I want you to love coming in. I want you to feel like your team loves you and values you. I want my team to, even if they go on to work other places, I want them to never forget their time working at the Brave House and be like, wow, other work culture was ever that good, ever
rock and
that
roll. Fun. But even that's what's good fun. About it, and I love that, and I'd love for them to take that culture and implement it wherever they go, too.
That's like, what you deserve. We're all just building that. Like, why not?
100%. Like, last
building this reality that we're living in. So
I love that. We're building the reality, too. We're going to be so cool together. So here's the thing. So, like, I have a friend named John Miller. He was on the show last week. He's the executive director of Guide Dog Foundation and America's Vet Dogs. He was talking about his time at American Red Cross, and professional development was so critically important for team there that he took a lot of that and rolled that right into his work where he does now. Again, focused on team, focused on professional development, focused on, because again, like I say, I think the better we are, the better we are for our people that we serve, right? If I'm not so worried about my health insurance coverage, or if I'm not worried about, you know, my PTO, well, then I'm in a better mindset. Talk about hashtag ending the stigma together, which is one of my other shows, hashtag ending the stigma around mental health. Gang, mental health, we got to pour into our people, check in on people. Please, please, please check in on people, especially this time of year. Check in on people, gang. You have
especially
to
your be strong more. Friends, especially always okay. Because I honestly think that everyone is just like scared and in pain a lot.
Yeah. And not just I agree what you say, especially your strong friends, but especially men, gang, because there's a really easy answer. Whenever, how you doing? Fine. How you doing? Everything's great. Yeah. It's not always great, gang. I've spoken on this at a lot of different occasions. Please, please, please. All right, let's put that aside, soapbox aside, put that back over there. Good. So how does this organization end up coming to be? Like, where? Tell me your story. Where did you grow up? What are you studying in school?
I grew up outside of Boston and was raised by a family of public servants. So everyone in my family is either a teacher or a nurse or in government, doing something that is serving, giving back to the community. And I just grew up learning that's the whole point. That's the whole point of the game, is to be of service in your specific way. I think there's so many ways that you can be of service. It doesn't have to be at a nonprofit or in a school, but just having that mindset of you're on this earth to be of service to others. And so I grew up with that mindset. I grew up also, my mom's side of the family came from Portugal. They came through Ellis Island and just, you know, helped. They were really a cornerstone of the Portuguese community outside of Boston. Did a lot of organizing in the neighborhood, things like that. So I grew up also with the mentality of immigrants make America great. Immigrants are the thread of this country. Almost anyone you ask has some immigrant story in their family, unless you're Indigenous, Native American here. But for the most part, anyone you ask can kind of tell what's the story of how your family came here.
Yeah.
So all of that was shaping my passion to want to go into law school and see how I can learn about specifically human rights, specifically for women, and how I can use that degree to make more safety and more joy and more empowerment for women.
Perfect spot to stop, take a quick break. Well done. It's like you're a professional. Look at that. We're going to leave them on a cliffhanger. I got 900 questions, which we'll never get to. Maybe we'll get to 800 of them. But look, we're going to take human rights. We're going to talk about law school. I want to, when we come back, you know, there's so much here. I'm feeling joy. I'm feeling very joyful right now, and I'm being intentional about it. I gave a speech the other day, and I talked about being intentional and being deliberate. And I think it's deliberately finding joy in your day. I'll tell you about that when we come back, but I think there's so much. If we look for it, it's there. Good or bad, gang. If you look for it, it's there. You want to see joy. You want to see gratitude. You want to be in it. I know you mentioned you're writing a gratitude journal. I got a lot of friends who do that. It's critically important to remind yourself of that. Let's take a quick break. Tommy D, Philanthropy and Focus. Lauren Blodgett is here from the Brave House.
Misalignment within your sales team or with the client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever wondered what truly lies beneath the calm? I'm Jacinta Yang. Join me every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Talk Radio NYC as we explore healing, self-discovery, and a space where science meets spirits to help you find peace in a busy world. Take a deep breath and tune in to Beneath the Calm, where every conversation guides you back to the calm within.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
Is back, your boy is back, Tommy D is back, cha cha cha. All right, so here's the thing. So the website is thebravehouse.com. The executive director and founder is called Lauren Blodgett. I am called Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector. Our why. So when Lauren and I met yesterday, I like to do a prep call with my guests. When we met yesterday, she says, you know, Tommy, what is our shared why? And I've only thought about that since, every 15 minutes since you said that to me, like 3:30, 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, because I love to think about why. But right on the website, gang, it says our why. Women across the world face violence and discrimination due to their gender. In fact, 1 in 3 women face some type of sexual harm in their lifetime. 1 in 3. Look around where you are right now. See 3 women, 1 in 3. Okay. Young people fleeing this gender-based violence arrive in the United States and do not have the right to a free attorney to advocate for their protection of their human rights. Unaccompanied children with legal representation are more than 7 times more likely to remain in this country than those who do not have legal support. Gang, I can't think of a time in history where conversations like this are more appropriate than ever. These discussions, Lauren. So I fast forwarded us a little bit, and I'm going to rewind us back to, you know, you going to law school. Why was women's rights, young women's rights, gender-based violence, why as a young person, human rights, you know, did you always know you were going to go to law school? And where was the point where you said, instead of doing mergers and acquisitions, let me go help people? Like, what was, like, where was that?
Totally. So I did not know that I was always going to go to law school, but my parents knew, apparently. They were like, oh, we could have told you when you were 7 that you, right. I wanted to get a trampoline, and they said no. So I, like, as a 7-year-old, made a petition and had, like, people in the neighborhood sign it. Like, I was drawing contracts since I was, like, 10. So apparently it's been in my blood since I was a little kid. But I can see
like 7-year-old, like, Billy Badass Lauren, like, walking around with, like, a little briefcase, like, okay, here's what we're gonna discuss.
I tried negotiating with Santa. It was just like, anyways, I studied international human rights in undergrad, and just through that, I just saw how the laws.
Why? What drew you there? Like, what was the thing? Like, you know, because that I don't want to say that's not typical, because I don't know from typical, but I just know, like, what was the draw as an 18-year-old young woman going, like, I want to learn about this?
I just think at the most fundamental level, everyone deserves a life of safety and where they're not being harmed, period. And I see that laws are what like govern that. Depending on your country, depending on where you live, you're allowed to do certain things to certain people. Like in Morocco, up until about 10 years ago, they had certain laws that you were legally allowed to sexually abuse a woman as long as you married her after. Like that wasn't repealed until it was in the 2000s. So the laws I just saw as that is what is dictating what can and cannot happen to people. And so that just like fundamental, I want a world where everyone is safe and not just surviving, but also thriving. Also just in terms of my like core personality, I've always been the one who roots for the underdog and wants to support the, you know, growing up, seeing people bullied. I always wanted to be the one who's like stepping up against the bully. I've just like always had that.
I love that. I love that. So do you have siblings?
I have two older brothers.
Yeah. I love this story. So you're, this is your study and you traveled around the globe too for during your education. So tell us about that.
I traveled all over. I worked in different human rights nonprofits in Thailand. I was doing anti-child trafficking cases there. I was in Morocco doing women's rights. I was in India. I was in Geneva doing anti-torture before the UN. So I kind of was all over the place. And it's like, I think it was in The Alchemist where you have to like travel the world to come back home
type of thing.
I was working at an immigrant clinic at my law school. And I was able to work with people from all over the world, but here in my home turf, and was able to actually, instead of advocating for big laws, I could just talk to one person and look them in the eye and hear their stories. And I'm an endlessly curious person. So I would just, I loved talking to people and hearing their, not just what happened to them, but also their dreams for the future and what they want to do if they can stay here. And I could spend hours doing that and never get tired. So it's that finding what you're passionate about and what you're good at and also what lights you up. Like it, I had to find that
Venn diagram, right? You got to find like those circles that overlap. And like, then that is where your bliss is supposed to be. So like, here's what I'm good at. Here's my passion, right? And then here's what lights me up and all that type of stuff, right?
Yeah. So that was what led me to working with specifically with girls who are survivors of gender-based violence, which, you know, can encompass so many things. That could be sex trafficking, sexual abuse, like discrimination and violence and harassment based on their gender. And just as a woman, I've personally experienced a range of things and trauma based on my gender. So that's a very easy thing for me to have compassion for and relate to and get fired up about. Mm-hmm. So I started working with girls as young as like 5 years old. And they don't have the right to a free attorney. So like, can you picture a five-year-old and you have children, right? Like literally imagine a five-year-old and then imagine them sitting in a courtroom in front of a judge at the table, right? And they're so little that the feet are swinging beneath them in the chair, and they're supposed to just represent themselves in court.
At five years old. Yeah. I mean, come on. That's like a kangaroo court. Like, what are we talking about here? That's like ridiculous.
So it's a no-brainer. And then my first client was that little and that young and, you know, wearing the pink fluffy dress and the whole
thing,
you can't get out of your mind. So,
and go to YouTube and type in Lauren Blodgett and check out this TEDx talk at Boston College. And you just, what a great, great story. And it flows into what we're talking about today. I want to just, were you in private practice while that was going on? Were you working for a firm? How does that work? A public defender? Like, what is that?
Yeah. So for those first clients, I was working at another nonprofit in New York City, which is where I essentially piloted the concept for the Brave House. So I was at another nonprofit doing this work. I had a caseload, dozens of young girls, young women, and it was like that movie Groundhog Day, where I would hear the same thing over and over again in terms of what they had experienced, but also I would be sitting with them and they would over and over be like, okay, I know we need to do the legal case, but also like, how do I enroll in school and how do I get health insurance and where can I make friends and want to talk about mental health or talking to me about getting their first period. And just
and that like, organization didn't have those resources or those like referrals to be able to be made.
At that time, it wasn't a main, it was more just like legal there. And so at that organization, I started a girls group where I was like, all right, well, we can get together and do resumes and we can go like ice skating at Rockefeller Center under the tree. And we can like do some of these things together. And then there was so much interest in that little group that I was just doing on the side that it grew and we kind of spun off and it became its own organization where now today at the Brave House, we reach, well, so we're 7 years old. We reach over 500 young immigrant and refugee women a year. And we do this blend of legal aid, since legal is always at the cornerstone, but also we give free therapy and we do wellness events. And I want to tell you about our Wellness Wonderland that we did last week. We do leadership development, like education, job readiness. And then we do community, just a place to like make friends and be a young person, be a kid, laugh, be silly, all of that. So it's really this one-stop shop model where you can come and we practice radical hospitality, which is this concept of like, oh, I'm so happy you're here. Not just like, okay, yeah, you can be here and like receive these services. It's like, no, like you're with the family. Like we know you and we love you. And
we miss you when you're not here.
We miss you. Yeah. Like you are adding value to this space. Yeah.
Community. It reminds me a little bit of the model of the one of my clients called Venture House, which is a mental health organization, but they're a clubhouse setting where they're specifically short-staffed, meaning they don't have enough people to, that are on the payroll. So the members of the clubhouse with a serious and persistent mental illness are an integral part of the community. So like maybe somebody is in charge of the kitchen, maybe somebody, you know, maybe somebody does some maintenance or whatever, but like the thing doesn't exist without the community. And that's how connected. It sounds very similar. Dude, you could make a decision in life to hang out with hedge funds, or you could make a decision in life to hang out with people who are changing the freaking world every day. And that's what I did. I chose the nonprofit sector, and that's the people that I get. You talked about legal aid, you know, wellness. I want to Wellness Wonderland. We got to talk about in a second, but radical hospitality, totally ripping that off, totally stealing it. I will give you credit.
Anytime I give remarks at the beginning, I say, okay, my name is Lauren. I say, okay, before I jump in, we're going to take 7 seconds. You're going to turn to as many people around you as you can. And all you're going to say, nothing else, all you're going to say is, I'm so happy you're here.
So
ready
to
go. And so everyone's just like, I'm so happy you're here.
The energy and wherever you are, the energy just elevates when that, because like it's genuine and right. It's authentic. I'm happy. And now I just made a new friend. This is a stranger and now they're not. You know what I always say? Well, you don't know what I always say. Some people know what I always say. You know what a stranger is? It's a friend I haven't met yet. Like, that's the thing. And that's
Once strangers too.
We were. You and I were. And now we're buds, man. We're going to change the world together. You're already doing a great job changing the world. I'm just trying to shine a light on it, as I like to say. I want to hear, we got to take a break. So we come back from break. I want to hear about Wellness Wonderland. I gotta just fire off some names. We got to get you to meet Solace House. Okay. Solace House is an organization in Long Island City, Queens, and New Jersey. My friend Patrick McGowan founded the organization. We'll talk about this when you and I talk next week. But Dr. Nandini Collins is the CEO there, and it is a mental health agency that provides free mental health services. And they are they work with survivors of who have lost somebody to suicide. They do this incredible walk from darkness into light. I've done the walk with them several times, like 4 o'clock in the morning. We go out to Long Island City and walk, see the New York City skyline. I got to get you connected to them just made it. We talk wellness, we'll talk mental health. All right, take a break. Told you one thing, Lauren Blodgett. I said we will run out of show before we run out of words. Told you, it's happening. We are at that moment right now. The show is Philanthropy in Focus, and I am the one and only nonprofit sector connector. In Espanol, I say El Nino, the kid. We'll be right back.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
All right. Okay, check it out. I sound a little bit like Matthew McConaughey. By the way, Matthew McConaughey read me the book. He read me his book, Green Lights. I mean, well, he was reading it to me. I listened to it on Audible. I thought it was just him and I. He may have read it to you all as well. Great book, Green Lights. Nothing better than when. So I said, all right, it sounded a little bit like McConaughey. Here's the thing. I am silly. Here's the thing. This is the lightning round. This is like when we run out of time and when we got to make sure we get everything in before we go off to the next thing we have in our day. Lauren Blodgett, what is upcoming? So services wise, legal advocacy, mental health services, leadership, community. We talked about that. Tell me what else you need us to know and tell us what's upcoming and how we can help.
Something that I want you to know is that it's all connected. So we do these things, but they all impact each other. We have a 99% success rate in our legal cases. And I believe that it is because we are doing things holistically. So that example that you were mentioning from the TEDx talk, where we're in the waiting room before we go into the big asylum hearing with this 7-year-old, the choice could have been to just sit there and wait in silence, but instead we were drawing, we were making comics, we were making up little songs about a pig that has wings and can fly. And so it's like the more fun you're having, the more you're taking care of your mental health, the more you're connecting with other people, all of these are going to impact your legal case. And when you're winning your legal case, that's going to impact your ability to get a job and enroll in school. And that's going to impact your mental health, which is, you know, it's all.
It's a big circle. Yeah, it's a big circle. And you talk about gratitude, and there's so much to be said for, you know, in our, whether it be our mental health or our physical health for that matter, you know, gratitude and joy. And you mentioned it in your TEDx talk, but gratitude and joy are like literally can decrease inflammation in the body. Gang, if your stress is an absolute killer, okay, that's not from a clinical guy. I'm not telling you that because I went to med school, because you know I didn't. I know it because I'm 47 years old. I'm a human being and I've been around, and I know how bad stress could be for us, and I know what it does to us. So the alternative or the antithesis, I guess, to that would be, you know, you talk about this wellness wonderland, which I want to get into a minute here, but we talk about how do we take better care of ourselves? You know, that whole thing that's cliche, you put the oxygen mask on first. You know why it's cliche? Because it's real. You know, self-care is not selfish. It is not selfish. It's actually because you can't, and I'm speaking to me, not you all. This is not a lecture. I'm actually talking to the guy that's speaking at the same time, because we got to take care of ourselves. And when you talk about the community that you're creating there, Lauren, and have created, of course, someone's outcomes from a legal perspective are better because their mindset is better. They're comfortable. They're calmer. they can approach this better, right? I mean, I don't know this from you telling me that, but that's from me being around for a little while, right or wrong?
Correct. Correct. And then there's trust there too, because there's so many organizations in New York City, you don't know who to trust, who actually has your best interest at heart, who gets you, who understands you. So yeah. I don't take that trust lightly. It's something that has to be earned. Yeah. And that's part of it for us.
Yeah, and especially these young people are coming to you in a ridiculously vulnerable, challenging, traumatic scenario. They need support. They need love. They need that. They need to be propped up, right? It's just, you know, I mean, the one story on your TEDx talk we keep going back to, but I mean, this girl came here as an unaccompanied minor. I mean, I can't even imagine. Like, I sometimes, like, you know, I don't, it's not so much anymore, but when I was younger, when my kids were younger and I had all four of my kids with me, I was like, dude, this is scary, man. And I'm an adult. Yeah. And I was like, I got like all these kids. Like, I couldn't imagine being a child and not like someone
yeah.
around.
I mean, there are some 8-year-olds who might have trouble making their own breakfast, but we have 8-year-olds here that we work with that literally crossed the border and traveled through multiple countries, went through extreme abuse and trauma just to get here. And now they're fighting a legal case on their own and they're going from shelter to shelter and they're 8 versus like an 8-year-old who
that's wild. That's
like breakfast. So
yeah, I mean, that's crazy town. Like that's like, what?
They have to grow up really fast. But something, a word that is spoken a lot in these spaces is vicarious trauma. So, oh, people ask, oh, working with those kids and these young people, isn't it so hard and traumatic? And like, it's like, yes, and yes, of course,
yes, and,
what right. they're going through is extremely traumatic and it's hard to hear. But the flip side of vicarious trauma is vicarious resilience.
So
seeing their resilience, seeing them come through the other side, seeing them grow, like that's the gift that I have is I've known some of these young people now for almost a decade. And so I'm seeing them grow and go on to college and accomplishing their dreams and setting their own dreams for themselves. It's not what I think they should do. It's seeing what they want and then championing them through that. So that's the vicarious resilience piece that
I love that. What a way to flip it. You're fun because you flip words and you're very, you know, and I don't mean like you send me a birthday card, but you're very thoughtful from the brief interaction we have.
Send a birthday card to every Brave House member.
But you do send a birthday cards too. I've like that's been a thing, like a little joke I do when I say somebody's very thoughtful. And I mean like not like they send me a birthday card, but like where you sit back and contemplate. Like my brother is like that, you know, like we don't hang out all that much, but like he'll sit back in a conversation and when I say thoughtful, I mean he's sitting there thinking, like not just responding, but like thinking. And I like how, you know, words have so many meanings. And I mean, I have like 6 pages of notes during a show, during a live show. I have 6 pages of notes, vicarious trauma. And then I overlaid that with vicarious resilience. You know, like to me, it's like I do a lot of work with people who have different disabilities. You know, I spend a lot of time with nonprofits to do work with individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And one of which I sit on the board is called Spirit of Huntington Arts Center. We have an artworks program where individuals learn digital design work. In fact, they rebranded our company and they are our marketing team. So our marketing team is made up of neurodiverse individuals, which, you know, as somebody who has ADHD, you know, and learned about my own creativity and my own challenges later in life, I completely love to be able to say that the folks that do our work, social media and otherwise, are neurodiverse individuals. I bring that up just to say, like, you know, words have meanings, and your piece about resilience there just stands out to me because you can be, we all can be inspired by witnessing what, like, I don't have a lot of patience when people say, I can't do that. Really? You can't do what? Like, what are you talking about? Look at what these young people are doing, like, in these crazy challenges. Now, maybe I'm a little tough on people, but I'm also trying to raise 4 kids. So maybe I'm a little toughy, but yeah, let's go. Where's grit? Where's Carol Duckworth with grit? Like, where are we talking about? Right? Like, let's go, man. Like, you know, and the other.
You have challenges, Like, I talk a lot about joy, but it's not that I only seen joy. Like, I have a lot of struggle in my life. I have two chronic illnesses that I live with. And it's like, yes, and there.
And I love also,
all this.
You know, that yes, and I love. And there, that comes a little bit from improv. I don't know if you've done improv, but have you? Or you're just okay, because it's like a guy we knew and that, like, in improv. And I'm going to start, folks, I want to start doing improv. There's actually a place in Forest Hills I want to start
you
going
should.
To. I'm going to do it. We're running out of time. My whole life is improv, to be honest with you, Lauren. But that yes and thing is like that opener. And it's like, cool. Yeah. I got that problem. Like, yeah, cool. I got the ADHD and I do awesome stuff in the world. Right. Like, that's cool. Oh. And I see my therapist and all that kind of stuff. You know, Lauren, let's leave them with this. Tell me about, we're out of time, but tell me about the Wellness Wonderland and then tell me goodbye.
Okay, so Wellness Wonderland is an event we do multiple times a year where I want you to picture like a farmer's market, how that's set up, but it's all wellness offerings. So it's all free for our members. So it's free massages, acupuncture, nail painting, essential oils, astrology, tea, tarot, and members come in and they get to go around from station to station, try things out. We have a whole art corner where we do vision boards and collages, and it's just an opportunity to explore different wellness practices that are separate from traditional therapy. And also, like, be brave and try acupuncture for the first time, try new things. So that we did that last week and it was a lot of fun.
I love that. I want to keep in touch. Obviously, we're going to keep in touch, but I want to keep up to date with what's going on so we can tell stories. I got a lot of ideas going into 26, how I could do little vignettes of my friends and what they're up to. Yes, what are you going to say?
Please sign up for our newsletter. It's on the bottom of our website. We don't receive any government funding. We're all crowdsourced. We're grassroots. So the more folks who can join us and champion our mission, the better. So please do that and stay in touch and we'll be friends.
And that's right on the website. The website is thebravehouse.com. You'll see it down the bottom. Put in your email address, the whole thing, Tommy D. And then we go there. All right, that is the end of the program. Look, Lauren, I'm so jazzed I met you. Congratulations on all the success. Shout out to you and your team. I'm fired up that we're friends now. I'm going to see. But by the way, these are two rocks that were on my desk. I just saw. I had them. Imagine. Like John Lennon. I just happened. Yeah. I don't know why I felt like bringing those up right now, but there it is. Imagine, gang. Imagine a world where everybody's looking out for each other. This is, I love your flag. I see it. Listen, gang, this has been another In Focus production. Make it a great day. I love you all. Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.